So yesterday, my friend Doug and I were talking about what we were going to be doing this weekend, and my friend Doug said, "Oh, I'm going backpacking." Do you know what backpacking is? Do you have any idea? Well, it's kind of like camping. Has anybody been camping before? Maybe you drive away up into the mountains or out into the desert or even down by the beach, and you pitch a tent, and you may have a campfire and cook your food over a real campfire and not just a stove in your kitchen, and then you sleep in the tent overnight in a sleeping bag. Well, backpacking is like that, except that when you're backpacking, you leave your car behind. When you're backpacking, you generally walk a ways. And a ways means miles. That means hours. But if you're going to be hours away from your car, what about your tent and your sleeping bag and your food? How does it get there? How?
I'm just guessing that you put it in a backpack.
Yes, you put it in a backpack. And where does the backpack go? On your back. Yes. So I have a picture here of a group of people backpacking. They're each carrying a big pack on their back because that holds all their clothes and their food and the water or juice they want to drink and their sleeping bag and their jackets, all that sort of stuff. So yesterday when my friend Doug and I were talking, we started talking about where we'd gone backpacking before. And it turned out that we had both been once to the same place. Now, most backpacking trips in Southern California, you go up because we're surrounded by mountains. And so you spend typically like Friday hiking up, and Sabbath you're hiking around or resting, and then Sunday you hike down. But you know, there's one place, at least not too far away, where instead of hiking up on Friday afternoon, you get to hike down. Now, of course, there's that other part on Sunday you have to hike up. But on Friday, you hike down. And that's a place called the Grand Canyon. And in particular, there's a part of the Grand Canyon called Havasupai. There's some Native American tribes that live there, the Supai Indians, but the reason they live there is because it is one of the most beautiful places on the earth. Do you see what's here? We're down in the canyon, but what's all that blue stuff?
Water.
The water. And what's this special part of the blue stuff? This is a waterfall, okay? And Havasu has not just one waterfall or even two waterfalls. It has three sets of waterfalls, and they each get bigger the farther you go down the canyon. And so my friend Doug and I were talking, and we were talking about like how hot it is this weekend and how nice it would be to be at a place like Havasupai, where if it gets hot, what do? You can jump into the water, you can swim. And he said, "Yeah, so let me tell you a story about jumping in at Havasu Falls." And so he told me this story. Long ago, when his son, who's now a grown-up, but when his son was about 12 years old, he took their Boy Scout troop to Havasu. And they'd hiked all the way in, and everything was wonderful, and it got really hot on Saturday afternoon, and so the boys decided that it would be fun to not just swim in that big pool below the falls, but to climb up on the rocks a little bit, because there were these ledges in one of those pictures. And so some kids climbed up on a ledge about this high, and they jumped into the water. All of you could do that. And then some other boys climbed up onto a ledge that was about this high, and they jumped into the water. And that was pretty fun. But you know, the ledges kept going up because the waterfall there was that tall. Okay, so they found a ledge like this, and then they found a ledge that was a little higher. And then two of the boys went way up there.
Oh.
And those boys were up there and they looked all the way down at the water down here. And they looked at each other and they looked all the way down again. And down here were the scout leaders, including my friend Doug. And one of the boys way up there was Doug's son. And his fellow scout leader said to him, "Hey, Doug, aren't you worried?" And Doug looked up at his son, looked back at his friend, and said, "No, not worried at all, because I know my son." So the two boys were up there. And anytime you get two boys together, anytime you get two boys together, it's a tough call, isn't it? But Doug said, "I know my son." So his son's friend jumped off, came all the way down, splashed in the water. And then he paddled around a little bit. Doug's son, that must be a boy. Doug's son looked down, saw his friend paddling around in the water. And Doug's son said to himself, "No, I don't think so." So Doug's son walked down to a ledge more like this high and jumped in from there. What Doug's son didn't know, and Doug didn't know, and nobody else knew, was that when the first boy had jumped off and landed in the water, he had badly hurt his ankles. Because when you hit water, it's not a whole lot different than hitting the ground, even though it looks a little different. But when you're going very fast and you hit the water, it can hurt. And it damaged his ankles. And they really figured this out the next day when they had to hike 10 miles back out the canyon. Now that's a pleasant hike normally if you're not in pain, because it's 9 miles flat and then it's 1 mile up. The boy hobbled the first half of the distance. He hobbled a little more most of the rest of the way, then he got carried up the last part of the way. Doug's son probably ran the whole way back. So there's a Bible verse from King Solomon in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." And you're finishing it for me, thank you. And in the King James it says, "Lean not onto your own understanding." What that means is, trust God, not yourself. When Doug's son came back down, I would have once said, "He's a wimp, he's a chicken." What he was really doing was listening to his guardian angel, which said to him, "Don't do that. This is not a good idea." It's hard enough sometimes to listen to God when we're by ourselves. It can be really hard when we're with a friend who says, "Come on, let's do that, let's do that." Even though you know that's not a real good idea. So God challenges us. He says, "Look, trust me. Talk to me all the time. Listen to me so that when you really need to listen, you can hear." Let's pray together to our God and ask him to help us listen. So let's stand up. You ought to put your hands up. Both hands up, stand up. Both hands up. Bring them together. Bring them down. And let's pray to Jesus. Dear Jesus, we thank you for the story of Doug's son who had the courage to listen to you when you were telling him, don't do that. Help us to listen to you because we talk to you every day and listen to you every day. In Jesus' name, amen.